So, the Gemara. I think we got up to Ella Tanahi, is that what we did? Let's see, Montana. Deshamat mine, deshamat le, de amar ein adam reshail chavel beatzmo. So, we'll talk about this in a moment, but this Gemara could be understood in two ways. One way is if you learn like Tosfos, that we've answered Tanai, we've proven that not everybody agrees that it's aser to be mechabel atzmo, but mutter levayish atzmo, as we initially tried to answer. We're forced to conclude it's a machlokas tanoim. The imkain, once it's a machlokas tanoim, so we don't need to come on to our original distinction between busha and chovel. We could understand that there are two opinions, a Tanai, a Machlokas, a Libet Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva hold? Either it's mutter to both be, or it's Aser Levayish Atzmo and Aser L'Chavel Atzmo. That would be our Mishnah. Then we have the other version of Rabbi Akiva, the Braisa, that both of those are mutter. And there's no reason to come onto the distinction between Busha and Chovel. And if you didn't think that was a good distinction, and you certainly would be inclined to this reading, if you think it is a good distinction, then you might not want to read it this way. And in fact, Tosfos makes exactly that point. Tosfos says that over here, Tanai is not, the pshat is that we don't have to hold of our distinction at all between the two. We'll get to the other possibility, but just to note, if you want to read it, and that's Gufa why, as we'll see in Tosfos, why we're looking for Mantana. Who's the Tana who holds this way? What do you mean, who's the Tana? It's Mefurs. We have the Braisa, and we have the Mishnah. Right? The answer is no. We're trying to look specifically for names. Now, the other possibility is that Be'ikr, this question, we'll see again, the Me'iri disagrees with Tosfos, so then we'll get to the point in a minute, but the Ikr thing we're actually looking for here is a source. That's the way the Me'iri would probably learn this, even though you use the Lashon of Mantana. We're looking for a source. What source are we looking for? What is the basis? We've just said at least one of the opinions, according to one of the Tanaim, that there's an Isser L'chavel Ba'atzmo. And what's the source for that? So Mantana. Deshamat le de amar ein adam shayl chab batzmo. Ile ma haytana hu de tanya. Vachas dam chemo nafsho sein chemed rosh. Ulazer omer miyad nafsho sein chemed rosh as dam chem. It's a mefurish pasuk that you're not allowed to hurt yourself, at least the chovel. V'dil maktala shani. No. There's a prohibition against suicide. But there isn't necessarily a prohibition against simply cutting yourself. There's an interesting discussion, we'll get back to it a little later, but it relates to our sugya as to how far to understand this answer, k'tala shani. In other words, is it pshat k'tala shani because killing yourself is a type of ritzicha, and that's why it's aser, and you can't learn from there to chovel? Or, no, still, Ketala's worse. Go back to that question. Elahai Tanahu, Titania. So again, our first attempt to find a pasuk has failed. The pasuk from Parshas Noach cannot definitively prove that there's an iser to be chovel ba'atzmo. So let's try again. Titania. Mikarin al hames below midarki amori. Amr Lazar Shamati Shemer Kareal Hames Yosemidai Loika Mishum Bal Tashchis the Kol Shekain Gufa. So the source is Rabbi Lazar. Lazar says that if you're Mekarel Hames Yoser Midai, which means presumably you rip more clothing than the halacha mandates. Halacha tells you how many clothing you're supposed to rip. Usually it's your outer clothing, for avet v'imot zach megalas libo. But if you do more than you're supposed to, so then you get malkos. Now that's argir, so loka. Loka mishem bal tashchis. The Gilya and Masar Sasha says, actually, Tosfos has the gears of over, as do some Rishonim. Some Rishonim are Goris Loka, like the Rav Meiri. We'll talk about that in a moment. So the Machlokas, what the correct gears is, we'll get back to that question as well. But either way, the Gemara tells us that if you do excessive Kriya al Hames, so then you're over on Bal Tashchis, the Kol Shekein Gufo, certainly you're Guf. Certainly you're Guf. What's worse? Right? This is reminiscent of the Gemara, we'll talk about it in a moment, that makes this very point in the opposite direction. The Gemara says that somebody was cold, they had just let blood, they were going to get sick, so they threw their dining room table into the fire. So the Gemara says, it's Bal Tashchis. The Gemara says, Bal Tashchis de Gufay Adif, meaning to say, What's more Bal Tashchis? That I should, my body should get nishchas, or that my table should get nishchas? Answer it, obviously, your body. So if that's true, so better off to throw the dining room table and not get sick than to get sick and save the dining room table. So the Gemara here is saying the exact same point, saying that if ripping your clothing is Bal Tashchis, Kal V'chomer, when it's, for no purpose. So certainly ripping your body is Bal Tashchis, certainly when it's for no purpose. That's the Kol Shekein.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. Meaning, yeah.
So that, yes or no?
Meaning, whatever. It's relevant to the Astana, so I think.
Okay. So, hope you bring it up. The Dilma Begadim Shani, the Pseidu Delo Hadu. So this is an interesting point. Presumably the Kol Shekein is still true, meaning to say guf is worse than begadim. It's certainly worse to be mashchis your guf than to be mashchis your begadim. You're more likely to be over on Bal Tashchis on your guf than Bal Tashchis on your begadim, but it's still not a good kal v'chomer. Because from there we could learn that when you do a hashchasa delo hadar, so then you're in violation of Bal Tashchis. Ripping clothing is hashchasa delo hadar. It's true, you could sew up the clothing, it's not the same. So doing a hashchasa delo hadar, that you could prove. But we're trying to prove that chovo ba'atzmo is usur, even when it is hadar. If I cut myself, so the body is a remarkable thing, and 3 weeks later, it'll be totally repaired. Kilo lohaya. And that type of hashchasa I can't prove from this particular source, right? It's still true that obviously hashchas of the guf is much, much worse, much more likely to be Bal Tashchis than hashchasa of the clothing or anything else. But from here, you could only prove that.
If you cut off the leg, though.
That certainly. Now, there's according to this dechia vadeh, you have certainly a very good kal v'chomer that cutting off your own leg would be Bal Tashchis, and would be Aser Mishem Bal Tashchis. But what you can't prove from here is that cutting yourself in a way that will be Hadar is, right, that would be Dial, right? That would be, as it were, Dial, if this is the source. V'Rav Chista, Kiha, Rav Yochanan, Kari, Lemani, Mechadusa. Now, this is sort of interesting, because if what I was saying was correct, now, what do we need Rabbi Yochanan for? Right? What I just said was that the Kal V'chomer is rejected because, yeah, guf is more chamor, but still it's lo hadar versus hadar. So apparently, we'll return to this question more carefully because I think it does. It is very telling why we need to come onto this. But it seems that the Gemara either doesn't feel sufficient, or at very least, it wishes to make the point about the extent to which Hashchasas Begadim is a very bad thing, because Kari Lamani Mechabdusi, Mechabdusa, meaning to say, L'chora, Begadim are not just regular old things. There will be a difference between, we'll treat clothing differently than a tablecloth. Ripping a tablecloth is one thing. Ripping clothing, since money are mechadusa, they bring kavod to a person, so that's a different thing. And that this point might be necessary to explain the following story. Though again, we'll have to figure out exactly what's the pshat of Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda kad havei mazgi bene hizmi behaga madli lehu lemane. When Rav Chisda would walk around by the thorns, so he really had two choices. He could have left his cloak down to the floor, and then it would have gotten ripped by the thorns. Or he could raise his cloak, in which case his legs would get ripped by the thorns. And Rav Chisda's choice was to raise his cloak and let his legs get ripped by the thorns. Amar, Zemala Aruka, Zemala Aruka. One will get healed, my legs are going to get healed, my clothing could. So it could be that that's actually, we brought in Rabbi Yochanan not because we needed it. This was sort of like one memra. Kiha de Rav Yochanan, Kari Lamani Mechadusa, V'Rav Chisda Kiyami Maski, V'chulei. In other words, the Iker point we wanted to bring out was Rav Chisda's point, which is the chilek between Hadar and Lo Hadar. And we brought in Rabbi Yochanan sort of Derech Agav for that. Though we didn't need that technically to explain this point. Either way, it would have been a dechi of the Kal V'chomer. Now, a very important question is like this. Number one, so again, right now we've failed in our attempt to find a source for an iser of chavala batzmo, at the very least a source that would apply even for a wound that is going to be fully healed. How does Rav Chisda, is Rav Chisda going to be like the opinion of our Mishnah that it's an Isser Lachlol Da'atmo or not? What did Rav Chisda say about that? So that we'll see as a Machlokas Rishonim as well. Right? Could be that Rav Chisda holds like our Mishnah, and it's Asher Lachlol Da'atmo, but if it's Letzorech, like to save your clothing from getting ruined, it's Mutter. And Memela, we could paskin like our Mishnah that it's Asher Lachlol Da'atmo, and also paskin like Rav Chisda that it's Mutter to do this. Or it could be Rav Chisda is at odds with our Mishnah. It's not paskining like the Stam Mishnah, it's paskining like the Baisa, which would be interesting. So that's one important. So there's several questions that are still open, right? Number one is the Gader of Baltashchis, right? Our Gemara takes for granted that Baltashchis is not limited to trees, even though that's the case in the Pasuk. What is included in Baltashchis? And number two is the nature of this or of Chavala Ba'atzmo, and again, will there be exceptions to that? Is Rav Chisda consistent or at odds with the notion that there's an Isser of Chavala Ba'atzmo? So again, we're still looking for a source. Elahai Tanahu, Detanya Amar Rebbe Lazar Kapav Rebbe, Matam Lomavet Mechiper Alav Me'asher Chatal Nefesh. So of course, this pasuk is stated by the Karban of the Nazir who becomes Tameh. At the same time, we seem to prove from here, we'll get back to the details of that derivation in a moment, but we seem to prove from here that it's wrong. Rebbe Lazar Kapar learns that it's wrong to generally become a Nazir. How could you prove from there? Maybe it's only the Nazir Tameh that we will call a Chote, because after all, he messed up. He wasn't Mashlim is Nazirus. Maybe because the Ran explains in the Nedarim that it's Me'asher Chata'al Nefesh is a Yitur. So we'll get back to other answers in terms of that. But certainly we have to consider the significance of the source for this ruling as being in the Parsha of Nazir Tameh. V'chi beizeh Nefesh Chata'al Zeh. El Shetiyaz Mon HaYayin, Wachet is there. Mitzaratz Mon HaYayin, Balo Drank Al Chomer. U'mazesh El Shetiyaz Mon HaYayin, HaYayin Nikra Chotei. So again, is it a chet or is it nikra chote? To talk about that as well. On the Tzara Atzma, we call davar achas alachas hamakama. And now we've answered our question, what's our source? Well, if it's aser to be mitzar atzmo by fasting or even not drinking wine, so certainly to be chovel ba'atzmo, and presumably, if you learn like Tosos, maybe even Levayishas Atzmo, from that same point. Right, from here we learn that did. Okay, so there's a lot to talk about over here. So let's go back to Baltashchis a little bit. Again, we'll sort of do Baltashchis in two segments. We'll talk a little bit about it today, and then we'll talk about it maybe tomorrow or in 2 days from now when we get to the discussion specifically about Baltashchis related to trees, fruit trees in general, and the specific issues relating to fruit trees. The first question is, as we noted, the girsa to get malchus for Baltashchis. Our girsa is like a mishum Baltashchis. Tysus was garis over mishum Baltashchis. Maybe there isn't malchus. That doesn't mean it's, that could mean it's not deoraisa, or could mean it is deoraisa. Unclear. Loka mishum Baltashchis. The simple reading is it's deoraisa, right? And you're over on the law of mamish, unless we say lokan is makas mardus. If you have the gears of over mishum baltashchis, it's a little less clear. Again, it still could mean that you're over on the iser deoraisa of baltashchis. Or no, it's not the iser deoraisa. Maybe the iser deoraisa is only stated about fruit trees. But you're over on baltashchis derabanan, or the idea of baltashchis. So, from our Gemara, it's not so clear. The simple reading of our Gemara is that there is an Iser d'Oraisa by Baltashchis. It's not limited to fruit trees. This Sifrei seems to state explicitly it is an Iser d'Oraisa, and it derives it from a Kavachomer, interestingly enough. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Mikan Chas HaMakom, Avirsa Ilan, Kavachomer Mi'ilan. Uma Ilan, Joseph Peros, His Hircha Kasav Allah, Pers Atzmam, Alachs Kam V'Kama. So at the very least, to throw out peros ha'ilan, if I take an apple and throw it in the garbage, that's kavachomer to baltashchis. If I can't, if the Torah's chasa on the tree, kol shekein on the peros, and perhaps from there, lav dafka peros, but really the kavachomer applies to all things. And there, well, maybe it's not 100% explicit that it's deraisa, but it does sound like it's a good kavachomer. It's not limited to cutting down the fruit trees. There are Rishonim that do seem to state explicitly that it is an Iser D'Oraisa. First and foremost, the Sefer Achinuch, who in Mitzvah Tav Kuf Chaf Tes writes, Shelo lahashchis ilanei ma'achal b'matzor, v'chein kol hashchasa b'chlal halav. Every hashchasa is b'chlal the lav. B'chlal, meaning to say, presumably, the lav is very broad. The Torah gave an example. It gave an illustration. Many times, the Torah will speak by giving examples. We'll see other examples of that later on in actually our sugya. The Torah speaks by giving examples. And this is an example of a broader principle. The principle is wastefulness, needless wastefulness. An example of this is cutting down fruit trees for war use at a time of war. Why did the Torah use this particular example? Maybe it's like Kavachomer. In other words, here, you know, everybody justifies everything for a war. You're killing. And presumably we're talking here even about a just war, right? We're talking about a legitimate war, and still the Torah says you're not allowed to cut down the fruit trees to build your bulwark or whatever it is. So that is reflective of a general principle. Yeah.
how could you derive from destroying fruit trees to things less valuable than fruit trees?
Because it doesn't make sense. Clearly, the fruit trees aren't out to value, even if it's a cheap fruit tree. It's because it's a wasteful act.
But
many times, give you some examples. Number, we have an Isser Deraisa of Tzar Bali Chaim. So the Rishonim, there are four or five answers in Rishonim where exactly we learn it from. Let's say some Rishonim learned it out from Osach Som Shor B'Dishon. So how do they learn out Tzar Bali Chaim Deraisa from Osach Som? The answer is this is an illustration. And again, you say, well, maybe, how do we know more? No. The fact that the Torah said you're not allowed to be Chosem Shor B'Dishon, we don't say Shor is Dafka, right? So we're not even going to say that this particular. We see this as a reflection of a general principle that the only way to understand the mitzvah of Osach Som Shor B'Dishon is to understand it as a general iser of Tzar Bali Chaim. The only way to understand why the Torah would say Lo Sashchis of the Ilanei Machal is to understand that there's a general iser of Hashchasa Shelo L'Tzairech. Was the example we had today? The other example of that? Said
Baltasar.
Yeah, an illustration of the law that was general. We said later. I'll think about it in a moment. Anyway.
But meaning that, what about the Sifrei? Meaning, what's the Kavachom of the Sifrei? It's one thing to say it's an example.
No, the answer is that it's interesting. Assuming again it's a real Kavachomer, you can't always tell from Midrash Halacha, as the Ramban points out, whether they're telling you Din of Deraisa or Derabbanans. But assuming it's a Din Deraisa, the Kavachomer is very simple. The wastefulness of destroying a fruit is much greater than the wastefulness of destroying a fruit tree. And that might be for a number of reasons. It could be because of food. It could be because you're using the fruit tree for a purpose, namely for the war effort, right? It could be for a number of reasons.
I mean, then that wouldn't extend to everything if you're assuming such a slaughter.
It could be. If in a time of war, when you're using it, and it's just a tree and the like of a chomer here. In other words, the point why this is Bal Tashchis, presumably, is because you could use Ilan Srak, and instead you're using a fruit tree, and you don't have to. So that's Bal Tashchis. That's what makes it Bal Tashchis, because there's a better substitute. So to use, whereas if you take a peach and you throw it in the garbage, that's for sure Bal Tashchis. Well, what are you even accomplishing?
But meaning, there would be categories of things that Tzar shouldn't extend.
That's
to.
True, and that's one of the things we're going to see.
Uh-huh.
In other words, one of the things we're going to see, that's what we're going to get to shortly, is that what about when there's a tzorich in hashchasa? Is that bal tashchas? Absolutely. That's why I said at the very least.
Meaning, if you're not assuming
needless wastefulness.
Meaning, if you're not assuming the makor of the sifrei, then you might be able to make it like across the board. Meaning,
probably
if you're just giving.
Not.
But meaning if you
get. Let's see what the sources say. Yeah, Tyler. What? Maka. Oh, that was another example. Right. In other words, we'll see later on, a number of sources say, maka doesn't just mean maka on a roof. Right? Just an example where the Torah speaks it as a. Where we see the Torah's tzivoy as simply an example of a broader principle. Losasim damim b'veisecha teaches us the obligation to get rid of everything destructive. So that might be the source of cutting down an ilan hanota lipol irshasaravim, the Gemara later on, right? What do you mean? It says, how do I learn from building a fence on my roof to cutting down trees hanging over the irshasaravim? Answer is, one answer, we're going to have to see, but is that, again, the Torah oftentimes will understand mitzvos of the Torah as examples of a broader principle. So we'll see Lo Sashchis Eitzim as an example of the broader principle of Bal Tashchis. We'll see Maka as an example of a broader principle of removing dangerous things and the like. Okay. And that's, by the way, now's not the time to get into it. It's a very interesting question. You could say, well, isn't that a violation of Darshin and Tamid Akra? Right? Apparently it's not. we have time, we could talk about that. I think for now we're not, but we'll just leave it at that. Anyway, the Sefer Chanuch, by the way, is really, it's mamish such a beautiful piece. I can't read the whole thing because it's very long. But he gives many examples of it. He proves this from the Gemara in Kiddushin, HaKavar, Mishum Bal Tashchis, and he concludes, "V'zehu derech haChasidim v'anshei Maisa, ohavim shalom usmeichim b'tov habrios u'mekarven osam l'toira, v'lo yovdu afilu gargar shel chardal ba'olam, v'yatzer aleihem, they're pained, v'chol ivadon v'ashchasa sheyiru, v'im yuchlu lahatzil yatzilu kol davar, may hashchis b'chol kolcham." Right? Think of the example of Yaakov Avinu going back for the Pachim Ketanim. Chaviven aleim namonim yosh migufim. We have to understand what that means. It doesn't mean that you should put yourself in danger, obviously, to save a dollar. But the lo kein harishayim achayim shel mazikim smechim b'ashchasam oylam b'ashchasas oylam. Right, a very, very powerful idea. In other words, Baal Tashchis is a tzaddikim are pained by any wastefulness. And they'll go to great lengths to prevent any type of wastefulness. Mashen Kein Rishayim, they don't care about wastefulness. Right? This is the mitzvah Baal Tashchis is a reflection of a very broad value. And presumably, the idea is that tzaddikim understand that the things that they're given in this world are here for a purpose. And therefore, they will seek to use those gifts that they've been given. And they're pained by hashchasa, because they see everything in the world as a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's here to be used for a purpose. Rishayim on the opposite way. And therefore, they couldn't care less. It's important, by the way, since I mentioned that too, distinguish between that sensitivity and just being cheap. What do you say?
Like people keep stuff for way too long.
Like right, just being like cheap or stingy or the like, right? There's the famous poem of Ibn Gabirol that was turned into a song of... changed a little bit, right? But Adam doeg al dama ve'eno doeg al yamav dama ve'enav chozrin. Yamav ve'enav chozrin ve'dama ve'enav ozrin. Right? So sometimes a tzaddik will understand that they've been given, you know, they have, they'll take a cab instead of a bus to save 20 minutes. Right? Even though it's expensive. Why? Because they understand the value of time. That's why they were given this money. Somebody who's cheap, so they won't do that. In other words, it's not the same thing. Don't confuse this value that the Sefer HaChinuch is saying with just being thrifty. But the point that he's stressing is that the chassid is someone who understands that everything has a value, and that's why Baal Tashchis is something that's such a important mitzvah, as the story I told you yesterday from my grandfather. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch, even though he holds that it is a lav d'oraisa, he also holds that there's no malkos. Why not? So he writes, "Mikol malkom ein malkin ela bekotzitz ilanei ma'achal shu mefurish bekasav of shar shchasos." In other words, there is no Malkus Arbayim, even though he learns the Lav, De'iraisa would be Kolal Shar Hashchasos. But that's because of a rule in Hilchos Malkus that you only get Malkus for things that are Mefurish Bakra.
And that's also like the Rabbi with the brown coats at the very beginning of the Darn. He says the same Philip.
That's for whether Shua Chal Shua.
No, I'm Bezim and Aleph.
Oh, well, earlier. Yeah,
I'm Bezim and Aleph. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. V'yishrizun get malchus using Shem Hashem, because the pasuk only says that. So, I mean, that's a pashut chiluk to assume that you would only get malchus as something which is mefurish b'korah?
I don't know if it's a pashut chiluk, but it's a chiluk that a number of Rishonim, among them the Rambam, holds of. So, the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos also seems to assume that the lav is not limited to fruit trees. It's in Mitzvah Lamed Zayin, Losase Lamed Zayin, he writes, "V'chein kol hefsed nichnas tachas lav zeh. Kegon mish yisraf beged, o yishbur kli, gam ken over mishum bal tashchas v'loika." Now the truth is, when you read that Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, it sounds like he's saying what? Malchus Arbayim. But the problem is, if you look at Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Vav Halacha Yud, he writes, "V'lo ilanos bil vad, el kol ha-mishaber kelim, v'koreh v'gadim, v'horis binyan, v'soyse mayan, u'ma'abed ma'chalois, derech hashchosa, oivir b'loy sase, v'eino loka el ha-malchus mardus medivreya." So, presumably, when the Rambam says in Sefer Mitzvos here, loka, it means malchus mardos. And even though it doesn't say that, if you look at the Marzchias, actually in our Gemara, he points out that it is not too uncommon to use these words to refer to Malchus Mardos. The simple reading, though, of the Rambam, from the Hilchos Malachim, it's hard to tell whether he holds it's Deoraisa or Derabbanan, because it could be when he says, Leilanos Bilvad, Elakohan Nishbar, that means Derabbanan. That's why he says Malchus Mardos. However, from his presentation of Sefer HaMitzvos, where he's presumably describing the Din D'Oraisa, the simple reading of the Rambam is certainly that it's a Din D'Oraisa, though there are Achronim who learn that the Rambam held it's D'Rabbanan. The Magian HaMishnah L'Melech, who is, Tyler told me, is the Memloes, is the Magian HaMishnah L'Melech, so he holds it's D'Rabbanan. The Radvaz learns B'Das HaRambam that it's D'Rabbanan. The Ben Ishchai in Shuvas Torah L'Shma learns B'Das HaRambam it's D'Rabbanan. But again, I think other Achronim learn it's Deraisa, and that's the Pashtus based off the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos. Emekan Etziv, on that Sefrei, gives another possible reason why it won't be Malchus Arbayim, even if you hold it's Deraisa, and that's because Ein Onshin Min Adin. So therefore, if you learn like the Sefrei, that the extension to other things is due to a Kal Vachomer, that would be another reason why, even if you held it's Deraisa, you wouldn't get Malchus. Now, the Netziv's understanding, the Kal Vachomer, the Sefrei, is saying that it's not the pshat in the Pasuk, like we were saying before. The Pasuk really answers everything, and this is just a dogma, but rather, it's a Kal Vachomer from the Pasuk. In both cases, it's Deraisa, but it's a little different. If you look, though, at the Yireim does seem to understand that it's not just a Kal Vachomer, but it's an extension. The Yireim writes, Los Hashlis is Eitzav, Los Sechros. The Lamadnu, Ashlazos Lazet, Kol Davar, Kedamina Bekidushin, Rabbi Ravuna Karamani de Bray, Lemechzi I Kapid I Lo Kapid, Umakshinan Bahaka Avar Al Baltashlis, right? It was being Machane Chisan, and the Gemara said, aye, why it's Baltashlis. Lamadnu, we learn from that Gemara. Delotashchis al eitza lav dafka duadin l'chol davar shuavsid. Right. In other words, what does he mean? The pasuk is lav dafka. It means the yisod that we were saying before, which is that we see eitza in the gemara in the pasuk as a example of a broader phenomenon. It doesn't mean the pasuk is lav dafka. It means it's lav dafka eitz. But you see from the gemara kiddushin that it's kol davar. Again, even the Yireim doesn't hold it's Malchus Arbayim. He wouldn't hold it in its Sif's theory. He could hold of the Sefer Chinuch's theory that there's no Malchus because it's not Mefurish Bekra. There's another issue which we're not going to get into here, but just mention, which is there's a difference in the Girsa here in Tosfos versus the Rashba, whether the Lav here is Los Hashchis or Los Sichros. Take a look at footnote 252 in the Rashba again.
Didn't you find the Dharma beginning to also you apply Onshin Min Adin to the Memat series?
Mm-hmm.
So that the Yireim say also? Is that
so I don't know if this is a Memat Sinu. I think Lav Davka is different than a Memat Sinu. Memat Sinu is a specific type of Yalfusa. Just like we see from here, so too we learn from everywhere else. Saying something is lav dafka is different. It's saying that that the pasuk is giving an illustration of a broader principle. Mematzinus go very, very broad. We learn from one thing to something very, very far afield, because Mematzinu, and you know, and then there are Kashas and Pirfas and Pirfas, Kaldehuans and the like. So I don't think it's the same thing. I don't think that that type of example is Begadir or Mematzinu. Now, one of the important questions that comes up here, again, we're not going to talk about it in terms of trees now, but is the question of Baltashlis Lotsoyrech. And L'chayra, there is evidence from some sugyos that it's not Baltashlis. So what's an example? So one is the Gemara that talks about it as L'nirmei Emasal Inshevesei, and seemingly that's not Baltashlis because it's L'tzayrech. Now that Gemara, though, isn't a Raya Brura, because the Smak writes, and the Marsha writes, and the Chidushi Agados, and this is also the view of the Chinuch, I'll read you the Chinuch in a second, that it meant that they broke broken Kalim in order to educate their children. This Chinuch writes, Bamna Meviu B'Gemara, Sham Maisim B'Ktas Chachamim, Shemarin Atzman Keusim Koasim Kedeliyazer Bnei Beisan Lazarzan Umashlichin Miadam Shum Machal O Shum Davar Umikom Makom Bashka Chasam Haisa Bahem Waolam Shlo Yashlichu Davar Shihei Nishchas Bizar. So either you're going to break broken Kalim, that's the way the Marsha reads it, or you throw the Kli in a way that's not going to break it. Or the like. Now, there's an interesting machlokas over here between the Taisus and the Rashba. Our Gemara, as we noted, said that tearing too many clothing, more than necessary for a mace, is a violation of Bal Tashchis. Now, Taisus asks that, let me just take a quick look, V'ha de amar v'moed katan shmo kara le'di raf t'leisar itzdelai de mitzah. Certainly, in the halachas, you do have to tear kriya for a chacham, but not t'leisar itzdelai de mitzah, or t'reisar. Yesh lomar de tzur v'mirabban midrabbanan shani. The lohaya yoser midai. Sounds to me, like Tais is saying, it's like this, that the Isser Bal Tashchis is anytime you do Yoser Midai, too much. What is too much? Tosfos doesn't say. But we know that 12 clothings for Rav wasn't Yoser Midai, Lo Yoser Midai. The fact that it was for a mace, Lakavada mace, isn't a good enough answer. The pshat is because of the great kavod of the chacham and the great extent of the loss. It's reminiscent of the Gemara that says that Rabbi Akiva was mesarit b'vsaro ad shadam shoseis when Rabbi Eliezer died. And Tosis asks, how could he do it? Well, what's this going to do? And so the Gemara, Tosis answers, no. That's when a person dies. A person, regular person, dies, so then, you know, masochistic mourning practices are aser. But this is different. Why? Like Rabbi Akiva said, you know, harbi mos yeshli v'ein biyadi lartzosam. I have all these kashas, I can't answer. Chor the pshat is that the loss is much greater. The loss of a person dying, as the Ramban writes in his Perush on the Torah and Los Hasgodedu, is a person's allowed to be sad, but the reason why mourning excessively, in the sense of masochistically, is wrong, is because we believe that when a person dies, they don't cease to exist. Their neshama continues to exist. gone. They're going to a better place. It was with justice, right? Why are you sad when a person dies? I don't understand. He's going to a better place. Don't you believe in Olam Haba? The answer is, says the Ramban, because you miss the person, right? Even when people part ways while they're alive, they're going off to a better place, right? When I went to Eretz Yisrael after high school, so my mother cried when she said goodbye. Didn't mean she was sad I was going. She was happy I was going, I think. No, but she, but she's going to miss me. So she cried, right? Crying. So crying is okay because it's not. If you do too much, the Ramban quotes the Gemara there, Maikatan kolam, Akash el meiser yoser midai. If it's too much, so then it's already kfira because it indicates a lack of belief in the Nitzchias HaNeshama. So that's why excessive mourning is aser. Oh, so that's what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Well, the loss of a Talmid Chacham is much greater than the loss of a regular person, because there, it's not just, we have all this Torah that we can't answer, so then it's appropriate. And anyway, so Tosfos is saying over here a similar point, which is that to kriya of one or two or three begadim is appropriate for a regular person. Anything more than that would be osir midai, and therefore, even if it's being done l'kavod ha'meis, would surely be bal tashchis for Talmud Chacham. So then 12 clothing isn't yosir midai, because the loss is much, much greater. That's what Tosfos answers. Now, if you look at the Rashba, he says it a little differently. Just one second. The Rashba sounds like he's saying that the problem over here is that you're not doing it l'kavod ha'meis. You're doing it l'asos nachas ruach liyotzro, which means to say it's a different vart. I think the Rashba sounds like he's saying that the reason why regular kriya is okay, kriya is, by definition, a destructive act, right? In fact, presumably the reason why we were korea begadim l'meis is exactly what the Gemara says over here, Rabbi Yochanan kari l'mani mechavdusa. In other words, we're tearing the things that are mechavdusa. And it's a deliberate act of destruction that's l'kavod meis. And that's okay. That's not val tashchis. Ah, but when you're doing it l'asas nachas ruach l'yotzro, that's already begadim val tashchis. Because that's like ripping in anger. That's like when a person gets mad and they throw their glass across the room and they break it. That surely is bal tashchis, right? When the Gemara says that somebody rips too many clothing, that's bal tashchis, it's because they're no longer doing it out of kavod l'meis. They're doing it because they're overwhelmed with grief. And lasos nachas ruach liyotzro, that's hashchasa shaloi l'tzorech, and it's aser. Memeila, when Shmuel did it for Rav, it wasn't. Now, you see from there a different type of answer than Tosfos. Tosfos' answer is, even if it's l'kavod ha'meis, it's yoser midai. The Rashba's answer is, no, that was for a fundamentally different purpose. Fundamentally different purpose. Yeah.
So it's sort of like Akiva, Rashi would say, cutting his body as like a sign of kavod related, not of like pain or grief.
See if the Rashi says something about that. But I think you'd have to say one of two things. Either what you said, maybe. Or you could say that just because sometimes Lasos nachas liyotzro is legitimate. In other words, that's not considered needless because it's not yoser midai. In fact, it's an interesting question what the whole purpose of kriya is in general. For those in Nicola last year, or Juzvan, remember we saw like five different reasons for kriya, and there are those who learn that every kriya is lasos nachas l'ech liyotzro. In other words, even kriya kamoshes even chachamim.
Smi, when Rebbe uses the term nachas ruach liyotzro, it doesn't mean
liyotzro, not liyotzro.
Oh, liyotzro.
Liyotzro.
Oh, explains a lot.
Using the rashi liyotzro,
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
What's Yitzro?
You're Yitzro.
Oh.
So actually, once we're on the topic of Kriya, there's a very interesting Torah Tamima that brings out a very important klal in Baal Tashlis from the mitzvah of Kriya. He asked the following shaila, assuming for a moment that Baal Tashlis is Dairaisa for Shar Dvarim. And then he says, I have a raya to the opinions that Kriya is Dairaisa. Most Rishonim hold Kriya is Dirabanan, Kriya Lameis is Dirabanan. There are some who hold it's Dairaisa, most hold it's Dirabanan. So I have a raya. Because if you hold it's Dirabanan, how could they be Misaken Kriya Lameis? But they could be Oker Dabim Natayra, Rekum Vasei. How could they do that? Must be that Kriya is Dairaisa. So he says, no, it's not a raya. Why? Because the Asra Taira Aladar Hashchasa, and therefore if it's for a good purpose, then it's going to be then it's going to be, it's not going to be a violation of the Isser. And why is this for a good purpose? So he actually learns that way. He says, Mishum Uma Shebe'emes Einanu Chosha Shembechol Dvarim Eilu, like Kriya Al Hameis for Baal Tashlis. And even if you hold Kriya Al Hameis is Deiraisa, but Kriya for Chacham or for Sefer Torah, the like is certainly not Deiraisa. So he says, the Pshat is, it's a cathartic experience. That it's mutter. Okay, it sounds like not like the Rashba. The Rashba sounds like he's saying if it's a tzarcha guf, if it's nachas liyitzro, it's aser taka. But you could still say that any time it's for a toelas like kavod hameis, it's going to be mutter. It's going to be mutter. And the fact is that we have a lot of places where we seem to do that. For example, Tosfos in Avodah Zarah talks about okrin l'malachim, that they would hamstring the horses after the king dies, his horses. So he writes, Tosfos over there, ve'ein kan mishum hashchasa shekola osa l'chavoydei shel melech v'nasi ein zu derech hashchasa. So what he's saying presumably is, it is hashchasa, but it's not derech hashchasa because it's derech kavod. It's being done for a purpose. There's a mitzvah to be mechabed the king, and you're doing it derech kavod, right? And that would be the pshat in the story in our Gemara, not of our Gemara, Tosfos, that Shmuel ripping all those clothing, right? Tyler showed me that the Minchas Asher discusses the minhag of apparently I didn't even know this minhag. The minhag of throwing clothing into the bonfires by Lag BaOmer. So, chayra, that should be aser. So, he says, bring me a raya from our taisus that it's mutter. He says, minchas asher, if you're allowed to rip 12 clothing for Rav, so certainly you're allowed to throw clothing in for the bonfire of the Tana Alokim, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Now, I don't think that's going to be the best raya in the world. I'm not going to say it's aser, but Tosfos just says 12th clothing isn't yoser midai. Right? Great. I agree. So who says that, you know, for 1,700 years, throwing, I don't know how much clothing they throw into the bonfires, you know, isn't Yosem Midai? Tosfos agrees, possibly, that there is such a thing as Yosem Midai, right? Maybe ripping 100 clothing for Rav would be Oser Midah. He just says ripping 12 isn't. Doesn't mean that there's no gvul. But anyway, but that's the Yishan. That's good. Again, you could say that, look, if that was the minna that Gedolim agreed to, it must be that they understood this isn't Begeder Yoser Midai. But it is interesting, again, that we do seem to have cases of Baltashchis when it comes to Minhagim. One example is Havdalah. See if that's a good example, but the minhag of over pouring your cup so full and letting it overflow, where that wine goes to waste, or even taking out the drops of wine at the Seder, or go to a chasana, breaking the cup at the chasana. Again, all these things presumably are latoelas, it's not stam wastefulness, but you could ask, how did the minhag, how could you have the minhag that's against the halacha, against the Torah? So one answer might be that it's not derech hashchasa precisely, it's because of the Torah. The way that Yerayim, by the way, says it, is that the yesod is, and we have a similar thing in Tosfos with respect to Chayvel, which we'll get back to, is l'chol davar shehu hafsed v'hafsedu meruba al scharo. So that's when you're over on Baltashchis. So if you think that the tikkun of whatever, you know, is greater than the hefseid, because by spilling out your havdalah wine, it's going to be a great tikkun in terms of having bracha shruya b'deisa or the like, then you could say that would be mutter. Agav, as Tyler pointed out, in havdalah, it's not actually so pasha. Not everybody agrees. The Aruch HaShulchan and Simin Reish Tadivav Sif Katnir Aleph is bothered by the Hashchasa as well as the Bizui Ochlin. We'll talk about Bizui Ochlin in a minute. But that takes place when you spill the Havdalah wine. And he writes, well, why is that mutter? It should be Aser Mishum Bizui. Maybe Achafshar Debimaat Ink Peda. Maybe that's the Pshat. First, it sounds like the Ramaz, you actually pour out the wine. He says, no, that can't be. It means you fill the wine up to the top, cup up to the top, some mimelo. If you fill it up to the top, when you pick it up, inevitably some of it's going to drip out. And then he says, it's bizui. He says, no, ma'at enk peida. But even he's not happy with that. He writes, shelo yishpo harbe al kol gedusa b'inyan shebe'es mili akos yishpach al haaretz di yishpo ze bizui, kosh lasavti. El yimalena male mamish kedin kosha bracha ach b'shar shem aschil abracha menanei hayad me'at memela shishbach me'at ach yizar shelo yishbach harbe. Doesn't mean like sometimes people will take their cup of wine and they'll keep on pouring until it goes over the top and drips and then they stop pouring. So the Aruch HaShulchan at the very least says that's not what it means. That's bizui. Rather, what it means is you fill your cup up to the top. It's kosher bracha. So then it's true that most of us don't have the super steady hands. So if you pick up a cup that's full to the top, then memela, it will spill a little bit afterwards.
I mean, that doesn't seem to explain the minhag, because that would be true for every kosher bracha. No?
So it's interesting, Hara. Correct. For other kosher shel bracha, you could drink the left to spill. It's not a big deal. But here, since you ruin it by putting out your Havdalah candle, so it's different. In other words, when I go ahead and I make Kiddush, so I fill up my cup and then I pick it up and then some of it spills out and then I'll drink that. Can't do that for Havdalah.
Maybe it's the Torah, so you can put out your Havdalah candle.
It could be. Might be other ways to put out your Havdalah candle. In other words, it's brought down as a minhag, not just as a hecha timtza to get wine to put out your Havdalah candle. It's also important to stress that just because something is like letzairach doesn't mean it's going to be mati or bizui and hefseit. For example, the Rif writes in Brachos on Lamed Zayin and the base, Shem Shem Zarkin es hapas, kach ein Zarkin es ochlen, v'dafka midi dimamis, av midi dol mamis, kegone gozi v'rimone v'chavushe les lanva, v'lo hizkir memra de Shmuel, that a lot of folks throw food that won't get ruined, and the Torah quotes this in Or Chaim Kuf Ayin Aleph, and he writes, relates to the Ufrav. So he writes that you're allowed to, for an Ufrav, Zarkin lefneim klayos, Vagozim bimos achama sheno nimas, avelo bimos akshamim mepnei nimasim. The lo chatichos v'gluskama laolam special chashivas to bread, but you're allowed to throw candies at the chasan and kala. He says, as long as they're not going to get ruined, so they don't. Right, the kids will eat them. That's fine. That's going to be mutter. But it's aser to throw them during the winter. He says, because then they'll land in the mud and they'll get ruined. They'll get wrecked. So you're not allowed to be matzid ochlin. Just because it's kavod chas mekala doesn't make it mutter automatically. So even if we're going to say that there is this idea that letzayrech, minhag, things like that is mutter, there are limits. There are limits.
Wouldn't that
ask there's also an issue, again, without getting too much into detail, but there's an issue, as we said, also, besides the isser of Baal Tashchis, there's an isser of Hefzid Eichlin or Bizui Eichlin. The Magen Avraham thinks that that doesn't apply when it's Tzarech Bnei Adam. The Mishneh Berurah doesn't like that. It's in Kuf Ayin Aleph, Sif Katan Dalid, and in Ibir Halach over there on Sif Aleph. He says that the Magen Avraham's Pshat is against the Gemara, because the Gemara says that you're not allowed to crush these olives in a way that for cleaning your hands. So that's Tzarech Bnei Adam. So the Magen Avraham answers, Efshar Bebayris. The reason why over there it said it's Aser, Al Tzbizoy Eichlin, is because there was an alternative. You could have used soap, so what are you using olives for? So he thinks that's not a good answer. He asks some kashas on that. The Mishnah Berurah thinks it's only Mutter if it's a Derech, it's a Tzarech Adam, and it's Derech Bnei Adam. The Derech, that which makes a Derech Bnei Adam, prevents it from being. So you want to say?
So the practice that I think some people have of, let's say, letting bread get moldy before they throw it out, for whatever reason it is they need to. So why wouldn't that be just as problematic?
Because it's Shev Al Tasa. Now, you're not interested in eating the bread. You don't have to eat the bread just to prevent this from happening, right? Like we said before, the Gemara that says, Bal Tashchis Degufay Adif, right? Stach Pashat, that doesn't mean that because of Baal Tashchis I should finish the food on my plate. Let's say it means I shouldn't take too much food on my plate, right? I should not take more than I'm planning to eat. Good. Let's say I'm a guest at somebody's house and the Baal Buster is a very generous person and she serves me a heaping mound of food. And now I ate and I'm full. Right? According to the Rambam, you shouldn't wait till you're full. But let's say I didn't go till I'm full. So now, should I continue eating, right? So, so that way, what about the starving children in Africa? So, Baal Tashchis Degufay Adif, right? In other words, definitely you shouldn't eat food. Don't be a human waste disposal, right? You're not supposed to be the garbage can. The garbage can's better than you. So, it's pashut that you shouldn't eat it. So again, going back to, the issue of what do you do with the bread? So now, I have leftover bread. Okay, so I'm not going to eat it. Why? I'm not hungry anymore. So I'm not interested in eating it. Or it's not even mine, right? I'm cleaning up the table Friday night. I have lots of guests, lots of half-eaten pieces of challah. I'm not eating it because it's disgusting. I don't want to eat other people's half-eaten pieces of challah. It could be that there's an inyan for bread because we have special chashivas kavot over bread. Alechem yichya adam. So therefore, we don't want to throw it out. Could even be for all foods. We'll talk about it, but especially for bread. And therefore, we put it in a bag. We wait for it to be disgusting. At that point, there's no bizui ochlin to throw out rotten bread. To throw it out now is a bizui, right? But I'm zicher not chayv to eat it. So that's why, that's the takana. Okay, if you have a better solution, like my grandfather, to give it to the fegelach, if even better. Okay. Fine. There's a fascinating rush. The mission Tumit says like this. Ish har habayis. It's a Mishnah in Tumit, and it's also quoted in Midos. Haya mechazir al kol mishmer mishmer. V'maya roa ben Levi nirda. V'emza mishmaro. I don't know if this applies to a Rebbe, somebody falls asleep in shir. Rishus haya lo lisrof es ksuso. It'll be meant to stay up all night, right? So it's easy to fall asleep. So just light their clothing on fire, they'll wake up very quickly. So the Rosh asks in Midos, Vein kan mishum bal tashches. How could they light their clothing on fire? It's bal tashches. Mishum, the hefker based in hefker. So what in the world is that? It's like a medrash pliya, right? There's no bal tashches because hefker based in hefker. What does one thing have to do with the other? There's no bal tashches on hefker. It's hard to imagine. So, Taka, if you look, there's a Ha'ara in the Chuvah's Dvar of Ram, Siman Tazayin, Oschav Dalet, a Ha'ara, where he discusses this, and he says, that's Taka, Tau Sofer. Should say, Ein Kan Mishum Lo Sigzol, Mishum Hefker based in Hefker. How could he go burning other people's clothing? The answer is Hefker based in Hefker. Okay, that makes sense. It's difficult, as some of the other Achronim point out, because Lamaisa, the Rosh, says this in two places. Both times it says the same thing. So you're going to say the Tos Sofer fell in both places, and like a Tos Sofer in the wrong direction, right? Tos Sofer to make something that makes more sense is more likely than a Tos Sofer to make something that makes no sense. So Elamai, what's the pshat? So how do you explain it? So the Sefer Nofes Tzufim gives the following answer. It says the pshat is that when is something bal tashches, if it's designated for one use, and now I'm ruining it from that use. So, if these clothing are designated for clothing, it's bal tashches to burn them. But hefker based in hefker, so based in become the bialim on this clothing, and they redesignate this clothing for the purpose of chinuch, teaching those lazy levim a lesson. So memela, it's not bal tashches. In other words, right now it's latoelas. They can redesignate the use, right? This would be, you know, they're perhaps just like the Gemara and Shabbos, right? They're redesignating the kli from a drinking instrument to a chinuch instrument. The bialim have the right to do that. And latoelas. Yeah?
From all these sources, it seems that, like, you really stretch away, like, that sort of. So it sounds like Baltashka is the only remamish when you just have no use at all, and you're trying to, like,
well,
ruin things?
Well, again, the Urayim gives a very clear gather, which is that the benefit must outweigh the cost. Hashchasa is destructive. What does destructive mean? The cost is greater than the benefit, right?
How do you judge, like, the chinuch is more important than all the
clothing? So you're right. Sometimes it's not easy to judge. So we have some examples in the Gemara where it's clearly wrong, like the Gemara in Kiddushin, where he was, you know, trying to test the son if he's going to get angry, or the Gemara over here where he ripped too many clothing or the like. But you're correct. In other words, a person has to make the cheshbon what it is. Now, once we're on the topic, so I mentioned the Isser of Bizui Olcha, which is related but separate din. So there's a very common question that comes up all the time, which is you have leftover food on your plate, like we said, that you're not interested in eating. So we said you shouldn't eat it, al tzbal tashchis. So you're allowed to throw it out. Right? So maybe I'm allowed to, let's say I have company over and I'm clearing the table, so I'm allowed to throw out other people's food, because that's already most for me. Right? I won't eat other people's food. It's garbage. So I'm allowed to throw it out. What about my own food? Right? There's nothing wrong with this food. I would be willing to eat it. I'm just not full anymore. So pashtus is to take perfectly good leftover food from my plate and throw it into the garbage where mamish mafsid it be a diet. It's going to become disgusting immediately. As soon as it lands in the garbage, it's going into the same bin with the dirty diapers. Right? That should be usher. Should be usher. And even if we're going to say it's not bal tashchis, it's certainly bizvi reichlin. I once asked this question to Rabbi Willett, and he said, why would you throw it out? Save it. Eat it tomorrow. So I said, what if you don't want to eat it tomorrow? So why wouldn't you want to eat it tomorrow? Well, it's good. You told me it's good food. So he wouldn't answer. He didn't say it's aser, but he wouldn't say it's mutter.
Is the way to all food that moldy be thrown out, or?
He didn't say it's usher, but he wouldn't say it's mutter. I mean, certainly, you know, the chassidim of the Sefer Achinuch would be distraught by that. I told you about my grandfather yesterday. He was a chassid in this sense also. He was a chassid in the sense of a chassid. Visions are chassid, but he's a chassid in the sense of that Sefer Achinuch. It would hurt him so much. He would never throw out any food. Never throw out any food that was rowdy to eat. But anyway, so I never heard of a good justification for this practice until yesterday, when Tyler told me a yishuv, or maybe from Rabbi Yashiv, that he heard in a shir from Rabbi Rudinsky. Well, Yashiv wanted to say, maybe it's Tully and Tudeos in Rashi. This is not a Pashut explanation, but the context of Rashi is the Gemara in Tainis, that one of the Morayim would throw out would buy up the extra produce on Erev Shabbos and throw it into the Erev Shabbos and throw it into the river. And the reason is because if the merchants didn't sell their stuff, then they wouldn't bring stuff next week. There wouldn't be food for Shabbos. It would be a terrible thing. So the Gemara says, "Well, why don't you just feed it to an animal?" So the Gemara says, "Ein machilin maichel adam, you're not maichel lebehema." So Rashi writes like this, gives two explanations. Mishum bizui ochlin, umechzi keboit b'toiva sheshpia kodesh baruch hu ba'ila. That what's so bad about giving it to an animal, food that's fit for a human to an animal? You're allowed to give animal food to an animal, but what's wrong with giving food, right? Like whenever we go on picnics, so my kids always want to take their sandwiches and feed it to the duck. So half the reason is because they want to get through the sandwiches because they're hoping for desserts. So but I never let them because this is perfectly good food. You can't feed it to the ducks. It's usher. It's also against the rules of the park. That's a different issue. So why? Because it's mechzi kiboi, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you food in this world that you could eat, and you're giving it to animals. It's boi b'toiva. Inami, Rashi says, Mishum dechasa Torah al memainim shal Yisrael. Different type of answer. Chasa Torah al memainim shal Yisrael. It's a waste. Right? Usually, a dog food is half the price of human food. Okay? I think some people buy dog food that's twice the price of human food. But that's a different issue. Vizarek lenahar. But this is... So what, it's better to throw it in the river? No, vizarek lenahar behochem lemakom acher. Meaning, say, it wasn't going to waste. He threw it in a river, went down to the next city, and they chopped it up, and the humans ate it. Okay? Fine. Now, says Rav Yashiv, maybe the second pshat mentioned that humans would eat it. Sounds like the first pshat, humans wouldn't eat it. And the Gemara is saying, so you could throw it into the river, even though humans aren't going to eat it, as long as animals don't eat it. Now, what do you see from there? You see from there that once it's not omed for achilas b'nei adam, then it's mutter to throw in the river, even if it's presumably getting ruined in the river. So you see here that if you have food that's no longer omid l'achil, of course, any food that you might eat later on, don't throw out. But let's say you know for sure nobody's going to eat this food later, right? You have, like, you know, a half an egg left. Nobody's going to eat this egg tomorrow, the next day. Nobody's interested in it anymore. People want fresh food. So if you know it's not going to be eaten, according to the first pshat in Rashi, ken zayin it's mutter. Just like, because he's saying, you don't have to come onto the ukimta. It's only in the second answer that Rashi mentions that the other people are going to eat it. So the first answer, nobody's going to eat it. Presumably it's getting wrecked by putting it in the river. It's mutter, since there's, it's no longer omid l'achil, and it's mutter.
But someone else is going to eat it, in that case.
No, no. The first pshat in Rashi doesn't mention that others are going to eat it when it went down the street.
Yeah.
You don't have to. You don't. Well, that's a question. But for whatever reason, it wasn't going to go to Aniyim over here. So, so that's the yishuv. So okay, it's important yishuv because that's what everybody does. Okay. So let's just make one more last quick point because I really want to do what I'm supposed to do today. Barely started. So what's the maskana of the Gemara? So at least we mentioned this very quickly. So according to Tosfos, so it's Tanai Alibid Rabbi Akiva, right? One opinion says Bein Boshes Bein Chomo Ba'atzmo is Mutter, and one opinion says it's both Aser. And as we noted, the reason why Samar Shah points out why Tosfos learned this way, and Tosfos more or less says it explicitly, is because of the Gemara's question of Mantana, meaning to say, why are we looking for a Tana? We already have a Tana. It must be that the Pshat is like he said, right? The way the Samar Shah puts it is, why is the Gemara looking for Mantana? Right? We know who the Tana is. Al-Karchach Gemara Balotaritz Trei Tanai Alibid Rabbi Akiva. So we're looking for that Tana that said this. Even though we don't actually find someone that said it, Das Rabbi Akiva, we could assume that one it is. So the Miri disagrees with this. He understands that we do still hold to the first answer. He writes, he goes to the whole Sugya, called Linyan Boshas Uphisos Im Eno Kapit Al Atzmo Umathris Umevayesh Es Atzmo Risha. Now, actually, in the end, he also holds all things in Asmachta. But anyway, fine. Now, so we're going to do a couple of things tomorrow. One is the issue of, I'd like to discuss whether it's an issue deraisa lachol be'atzmo. Take a look at the Miri. He holds it's a Asmachta. Sounds like he holds being chol be'atzmo with the Rabbana. I want you to look at the Rambam very carefully. Does the Rambam hold it's Daraisa or Darabana? And if it's Daraisa, what's the Isser, right? From our Gemara, if you were to guess what's the conclusion of the Gemara, what's the Isser of Chol Batzmo? It's learning out from the Darim, right? But the Rambam sounds like he's saying the Isser is Pen Yosef. Yeah. So take a look at that. In terms of the issue of the Nazir and answering Tysus's Kasha, so there's some other answers in the Shita Mekubetzes. Take a look there. It's very important alternative answers. And how would they learn? In terms of the Rambam Shita Naziros, it's Kedai to look also. That's at the beginning of Hilchos, Per Gimel of Hilchos Deos. And then I'd like you to look into the topic of under what circumstances a person could be cholo ba'atzmo. So I'll tell you two questions to think about, two practical questions. Question number one is plastic surgery. Is that mutter in terms of is or cholo ba'atzmo? Discretionary plastic surgery. The poskim discussed this extensively. Question two, and if you want to look, the Dvar of Ram, not the Dvar of Ram,
how you
the Nishmas of Ram, talks about this. He brings down a bunch of Osrim and a bunch of Matirim on our Simon and Choshen Mishpat Simon Tavchav. So look at that. The Machlokas HaPoskim about plastic surgery. And specifically, take a look at Rav Moshe's Tshuva on plastic surgery, which discusses our sugya. Segros Moshe, Choshen, Mishpat Chelek, Beis Yom, Samech, Vav. The other question you could think about, tell me what you think is this is in medical school, apparently. People, when you're learning how to draw blood, so the medical students practice on each other. Everybody gets a chavusa, and you practice on your chavusa, drawing blood. So is that mutter? That should be chalvo ba'atzma, where you're giving somebody rishos, but it should be aser, right? Or not. So what do we have to say from our sugya? Is that going to be mutter or aser?
Meaning that would all be an issue of like lifnei iver. It wouldn't actually be.
Well, yeah, you should be aser to give them rishos. Just like it's, you know, same issue with plastic surgery. But that's one very important issue that comes up. And then we'll go on to the next sugya. And I'd like you to look into the issue, the mitzvah of, obviously we'll see this in the Asar Zehuvim. For that, what's very important to do is look at the Rif, the Rambam, and try to figure out how the Rambam's learning the Rif. And then to also look into what is the mitzvah of Asar Simoneya, getting rid of dangerous things. Look especially at the Rambam, Hilchos Ratzeach Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Dalet, and try to figure out the Gadara there. Sefer Chinuch and the Minchas Chinuch on the mitzvah saseh and lo saseh associated with Makkah and the as well. Okay, so stop here. Is that Ilan?
That was the enough.